Hello, gay man. I'm John. Welcome to Coming Inside Out. And who is this beautiful man next to me?
Ryan. Thank you so much. John, it's always good to see you, buddy.
Great to see you. So what's up? What do we got going here?
Well, I want to talk about, first thing is Palm Springs Pride.
That's right. Thursday, October 31st to Sunday, November 3rd, yes. 2024. It is here.
Gay Fathers of Los Angeles and Gay Fathers of Palm Springs is teaming with Gay Fathers Worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who's a gay dad that is going to go to Palm Springs Pride, mm-hmm. we are marching in the parade,
yeah.
which is on Sunday, November 3rd at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
We have a banner. We're doing t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
If you are interested in joining us.
Right.
You can write to us at comingsideout@gmail.com and we will get you all of the information. I will post the information on our YouTube page.
Yeah.
But they have a bunch of stuff going on starting on Thursday night.
Yep. Yeah. And I love the logo here. Did Bob design this?
So this came from Gay Fathers Worldwide. They
love
our logo.
Can I show everyone?
I'll post it on there.
So okay, we're gonna
but that's our banner. Have you been to the Pride?
No.
I've been twice.
To Palm Springs
Pride? Palm Springs Pride. I went the year of COVID when there wasn't really a Pride.
Okay.
But it was just my first year out, and I went down there, and there was really very sporadically little things happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I went last year. I went Saturday to Sunday.
Okay.
And it's, I mean... You know, if you know anything about Palm Springs, it's a big old party.
Yeah.
All up and down Highway 111. It's blocked off on both ends. They have bands. They have 200 little vendors with all their little selling all their stuff. Food.
Yeah.
Alcohol left and right.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. I probably walked 20,000 steps that day. I walked a lot.
Wow.
And, you know, people go there. They go to pool parties. They do all the, you know, the other stuff.
Yeah.
I spent more money down there shopping and elected not to go to any of the pool parties.
You didn't go to any pool party? Not one?
No, because, you know, I think these pool parties are naked pool parties, are they not?
Well, some are, some are not. It just depends which ones you go to.
I don't know. I was only invited to the naked ones. I don't think anybody invited me to one where you wore your clothes.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a fun event. So if you can't go for the whole weekend, you don't need to get there.
Pick a day.
My buddy David and I got a hotel room. I know that Gay Fathers reserve some rooms.
Yeah.
Dave and I got a hotel room. We're going to go down there Saturday night. We're going to come back Sunday after the parade.
Mm-hmm.
But book a room. You know, do what you need to do. But
do it now if you're going to do it, because the prices are going up. Yes. And I need to lock that down.
So we have a letter from, I apologize. It was a busy week for me. I only printed one of these off.
Yeah. So we did receive a letter from a gentleman. He goes, I was 58 years old when I came out and actually said I was gay. Although a lot of close friends knew before that. That was 6 years ago, and since then I have been to gay pride events. I am now totally open about my sexuality. I have just one regret, and that is that I never did a lot sooner because I feel like I have wasted my life.
Let me stop right there.
Yeah.
Just for a second. I get asked that question a lot also, and my response to that is, I wouldn't have my kids today if I had to do over or do it sooner.
Yeah.
I think it happens for you when it is supposed to happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I don't have regrets of not coming out sooner because I got to a certain place with my children where I think I needed to be with them in order for it to happen.
Sure.
And
well, I mean, that's the whole thing too, is, you know, whoever you are, wherever you're at in this, you know, a lot of us wanted the white picket fence, the wife, the children, and we suppressed it so much. Some suppressed it so much, like myself, that I had, no idea
that this existed.
Yes. Well, that I was gay.
Oh, that you were gay.
You know?
Yeah. Well, we've been, I knew I was gay. You were coming out much later than.
Right.
Than I realized.
Yeah. So, it's really, you know, you make a good point that a lot of things you wouldn't have your children if you had come out earlier. And, you know, did you waste your, I don't think you waste your life. You know, if you're coming out 50, if you're coming out of 60 or 70, it's, you know, it's.
Well, maybe some people feel like they've wasted their life if they were in a stagnant relationship. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I was in a stagnant relationship with my wife.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wasn't living a lie and had zero growth in my life.
Yeah. I
had a pretty thriving life
in
my family. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Prejudice is an awful thing, but it is time for the world to just accept people for who they are. This writing is so fucking small, I can barely read.
Okay.
Who they are, provided, of course, that does not harm other people. I am happy. I'm happy I am out there being my authentic self. But the fact that I lost 58 years of my life trying to be somebody else feels like an awful waste. I'm sorry about that, but we just talked about that. I have two sons who I adopted, one straight, one gay, who were both very, very successful in their careers, and I am very proud of that. I was open about my sexuality during the adoption process, but that stayed confidential within that process. I don't get that. I was open about my sexuality during the adoption process, but that stayed confidential within that process.
Well, I think that he, when asked filling out the applications about his sexual orientation, he probably listed that he was gay, but it was kept within the application process.
Okay.
That it wasn't, you know, he wasn't outed.
Yeah. 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 And he goes on to say, sadly, despite it being a lot more open and out there,
You know, you're wearing new glasses, John. Is your prescription good enough for your?
I don't think they are. I feel like I'm reading in third grade. You know, I'm just still learning in third grade.
Oh. For
reading. But now I can read very fast.
Yeah, but it is small print. I apologize. I usually blow it up bigger.
Sadly, despite it being a lot more open out there, I can't follow the damn thing that it has ever was before. I am now watching a young friend who is just coming up to his 30th birthday, and they're struggling to be open about his sexuality. I feel for him the same pain I felt for myself, and I am saddened that in this modern day and age, there are still young people desperately fighting the battle I hope they would never have to fight. As I am an adoptive rather than a natural father, I rather wish there was an organization like the one of which you are a member that I was allowed to join. Well, that's very nice.
Well, as an adoptive father, you can be a gay father.
You're a gay father.
Worldwide.
Adopted, yes. Whatever. Adopted, yes. Natural. You are a father. You are, I think, yeah. I hope he doesn't feel less than,
because they outed from our group. Maybe, you know what? Maybe he wasn't married to a woman. Because gay fathers worldwide, I think you were married to a woman.
Oh.
You have kids. But I know somebody who
was
married to a woman and they adopted three kids. Mm-hmm. And he's a member. But I think one of the prerequisites is that you were married to a woman.
You had to be married to a woman.
That's gay fathers worldwide. That's not other groups, but for gay fathers worldwide, that is one of their prerequisites.
That's a requirement. Yes. You know, when we were at the Abbey for one of our get-togethers for Gay Fathers of LA, there was another group there that were new parents. They were new. There were men that were not married to women, that were young men that have little girls and little boys that they have adopted. It was very cute, and it was very nice to see.
And strollers. Here we are. Teens and 20s and 30s, and they're at the Abbey with strollers.
And it goes fast. It goes fast. Yes. I mean, listen, all you out there listening, you have children, and it just goes fast. You got to love them and hug them and You know, how are things with you and your boys?
Good. So my younger son, Matthew, you know, I've received several letters from him in the Marine Corps because he's in boot camp.
He's in boot camp now.
He is loving it. You know, I didn't share with you, but I was driving home from the last time we did our podcast, and I had a name pop up on my car from a caller. And normally I wouldn't answer those calls, but I had a new listing because we're both real estate agents.
That's right.
A new listing. I thought, oh, maybe this is an agent calling me. So I decided at 8 o'clock at night, I was going to answer my phone, and I answered my phone, and it was my son, Matthew.
Oh, that's great.
He won a challenge in boot camp, and he was gifted a 3-minute phone call, and he called me.
Oh, that's so sweet.
This kid brings me to tears. He has written in his letters to me, Dad, you're my hero. Dad, I look up to you. Dad, but all these things, I feel like a failure of a father a lot of times. My marriage didn't work out. You know me, I get on the beating down button soapbox. So I really feel like I have failed my children because, well, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. Anyways, he has said so many kind, loving things to me. And, you know, I just feel I have felt like I've let him down. But,
well, obviously you haven't because you're getting these letters and it talks to you.
Yes.
I think when a parent fails is they don't have a relationship with their child. That's failure.
Or you wake up and they're standing over you with a knife.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, yeah. But, yeah, you do. You know, it's so funny. When I was in the Navy, the call was blocked when he called you.
I'm not going to say the name of it, but it showed the name of a person.
Got it.
And I guess his captain or whoever won the challenge from allowed him to use his phone.
Which you never do. We did in boot camp. We did not get to make outside calls.
No,
Marines don't either. So he won an event.
He won a challenge.
He won a challenge, and he was able to do that. That's incredible. Yes.
And he shared with me in one of his letters that the leader of his troop screwed up on one of their little mission things that were happening. And my son was able to problem solve and figure it out. And now his platoon troop leader.
Is he?
Yeah.
So he's okay. We call them RPOCs. I don't know where that.
I don't know what that.
An RPOC is the leader of. So if you're in the service and you go in and you're in boot camp and there's usually 80 men.
Yeah.
There's 80 men in there, and at the time I wasn't trying to get somebody's bunk, you know. It hadn't hit me.
Because you were satisfied with your circle jerks.
Yes.
All these other encounters that you didn't need to have these.
Well, I graduated and we've moved on. There was no circle jerks. I was only about myself. but that's okay. I love myself. And so there was 80 of us. And then, in boot camp, you will have what's called a leader, an RPOC, or whatever you want to call them. And we had that. And, you know, the first morning when we were there in boot camp, you know, you came in your street clothes, and then we woke up at 4 o'clock, and they hid in the garbage can. Get your fucking asses up. I mean, it was, you know, what you see in the movies.
And I think it's much more mild today.
Well, they have to be mild today. But back then, well, this was the 80s. What the fucking 40s? Come on. But we didn't, you know, boot camp, you didn't have the phone calls until you got out of boot camp.
Yes.
And what I want to share with you is back in the 80s, there's no cell phones.
No.
You can't. So we were in school, and I went to boot camp, and then after that, you get what's called an A school with the Navy. You go and you learn a trade, which is great because you can go out in the world and work or do whatever and continue. They got so many classes, and all of the branches do. And I was, you know, a gas turbine tech. I worked on jet engines. But next to us was the satellite school for satellites and everything. I mean, these guys were like brainiacs, right? And but they would get the code, because back then you have to call collect or you have to have a calling card or whatever. not us motherfuckers, the Navy, we got into the satellites and got a fucking number, and you go into the phone, because these are pay phones.
Yeah.
You go into the pay phones and you had a number that the, we call the Brainiacs give us, and you put the number in and you call for free.
All right. Well, so were some of those guys calling this, the 1-800 sex lines and listening to the...
Well, when did those come out? Were they in the 80s?
Oh, those were in the 80s. Remember, people would get phone bills and they'd be $300.
For the 900 number.
For the 900 numbers. Okay, you did not have any hookups when you were in the armed forces? You didn't meet another guy?
No.
You didn't have anything going on?
No.
But
no.
That existed.
Oh, my God, the opportunity there? Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. The opportunity, even on the ships down in the engine rooms where it's all greasy. There's some stuff going on.
All right. Well, there you go.
But no, there wasn't. There's great opportunity. But no, it wasn't. I had a girlfriend.
Okay.
I had a girlfriend. Nice. She beat me up, too. She's violent. She beat me up.
You already shared you were a lesbo in the last, driving your Subaru in the last episode.
And then now I'm a victim.
You're a victim.
I'll tell you another time that story. It's really funny.
Well, one of our listeners wrote in and they said they would love to hear from other listeners. Have you ever thought of telling your wife? So this is more for guys that are closeted.
Yeah.
And you know, at the retreat, some of the guys that I spoke to about last episode about the retreat, some of the guys were still in the process. They had told their wives, they're still together.
Yeah.
You know, they hadn't formed the separation yet. They were still figuring out how it worked. I think as you get older, that becomes harder because as women get older, they don't want to start a new life at 60 years old. They don't want to start a new life at 70 years old. So I think that when these men are coming out at an older age, mm-hmm. maybe it's harder. Mm-hmm. But one of the listeners wrote in, have you ever thought about telling your wives? And if you had... what stopped you? So if any of our listeners have not, they'd like to write in. Somebody asked us about that.
You mean, to be clear, if any listeners were thinking about telling their wives, yes. but they just and still they have not
they have told their wife. Yeah, like Jim, who was on our podcast, mm-hmm. told us mm-hmm. that he hadn't told his wife. He got drunk as a skunk. He mm-hmm. was on painkillers or whatever he's on.
God, that's
and then
right.
blurted it out to his wife in a drunken stupor.
Drunken blackout. Yes. He didn't even remember doing that. If you didn't listen to that episode, you should listen to it because unfortunately the way he came out, he was drunk, belligerent, and his family, I guess he walked down or walked into the living room and just told them all.
Yeah.
Then he passed out.
Yeah. He came out. And a drunken,
you know, I'm glad he's still with us, but you know, that's what's so crazy about how we all have our own process. And unfortunately, some people try to drink or do drugs to numb themselves out, to try to hide who you are and what you are. And, you know, you could hurt somebody, kill somebody or kill yourself or kill, you know. And it's just, and there's no judgment here at all. It's just, it's just so sad that we're in this and I'm just glad we're here to help out, you know, anyone. And I hope you can take away something that helps you, you know.
Well, I think drugs and alcohol help a lot of closeted gay men mask what they're going through.
Sure. Well, of course.
It's their coping mechanism. So yeah. I think it's very prevalent.
Or eating.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have something really funny I want to tell you.
Okay.
Because I don't know anything about OnlyFans. I know nothing about it. I thought people took pictures of their feet on OnlyFans and charged $5 for you to look at their feet or whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
Really am not up to date on what OnlyFans is. So I was communicating with somebody online. They had a link that they had an OnlyFans page.
Yeah.
I clicked on it, but you need to be a member of OnlyFans.
Which you have to pay money for.
Evidently. So I don't pay money for it. So I wasn't able to gain access and see what was going on. I was like, oh, what is this guy a model? Is he like have chest?
He's showing his dick.
I didn't think it was dick related, but I was like, oh, what's he doing online? So I asked a bunch of people. I asked several people in our gay fathers group. I'm like, hey, do you have an OnlyFans account? No, I don't have an OnlyFans. Hey, do you have an OnlyFans account? No. And I'm thinking it's like, I don't have X. Oh, what is that?
You thought Twitter? It was... So you thought it was... Oh, you
like
thought only...
Twitter account or whatever it was. So I'm asking all these people. I'm like, hey, you know... And nobody said to me, Brian, it's really offensive that you would ask that. Or why would you think I have an account? So I'm asking. I go to my niece's baby shower. I'm talking to my other niece, yeah, who's 19 years old.
Uh-huh.
And we're just chatting, and I'm thinking, okay, she's all over social media, blah, blah, yeah, blah, you know, whatever. And I just said to her, hey, by the way, because I'm going to look and see what this guy has going on his OnlyFans account. I'm like, hey, by the way, do you have an OnlyFans account? Because I wanted to use her access to get on there. And she's like, no, I don't have an OnlyFans account. I'm like, okay, no problem, whatever. So I'm driving home with my kids in the car, and I've exhausted asking everybody I can possibly think of about OnlyFans. And my two kids are in the car. I'm like, hey, Cole, by the way, do you have an OnlyFans account? My son, Cole, his eyes got so big, and he said, so basically you're asking me if I do porn?
Oh.
And I said, no, porn? No, that's not what I'm asking. Yeah, you know. I thought OnlyFans was like Instagram, YouTube, right, Twitter, whatever. I had no idea. So my son set me straight on what OnlyFans is.
We didn't set you that straight.
Well,
didn't set me that straight.
Yes. Okay. So OnlyFans, you log into that to watch porn. Why wouldn't you just watch free porn on the internet?
Well, because... Look, I mean, because...
Is it?
Well, we're in a society...
Do you have an OnlyFans account?
I don't. And I've never joined one, and I just... I mean, the way I learned it was off Grindr. People are like, well, go to my OnlyFans, yes, page. I'm like, why the fuck do I want to go there? Because they want money. They want money. And so, look, it's a different generation, of course, but there's different people that follow. Like, you follow a lot of people on Instagram, or you follow some hot model on Instagram. You follow some hot dude, either fucking, sucking, whatever, shining, or a woman.
Pay for it.
And you pay for it. And that's how they make money. That's how they're making their living.
We should post this podcast on OnlyFans.
Really?
Anyways, you said you want to talk about the Emmys. I don't watch any of these, what do you call those, award shows.
I'm
like the last person to watch the Oscars, the Emmys, the whatever, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, oh my God. Okay, you call, let me see, do I have it on here? Yeah, what's his name?
Hot guy?
Greg Berlanti. Greg Berlanti got the Governor's Award at the Emmys this past weekend. And he's a writer that
he's been in the industry for many years. I think he started Dawson's Creek, or he was writing on it. But he's a gay man that came out, and he's so inspiring with his story. If you haven't watched the Emmys and you want to YouTube it, just do it. But what a gentleman. I'd love to get him on our podcast.
He's Greg what?
His name is Greg of Berlanti, Berlanti, B-E-R-L-A-N-T-I, Greg Berlanti. And it's just, you know, we have so many people in our community that have done great stuff.
Yes.
But everybody that's done great stuff started somewhere, and they have a story like yours and mine.
Yes.
And it's just nice to talk to people about that, because again, I thought my business was going to be wiped out. I thought, we think of so many bad things.
Doom and gloom.
But, you know, I mean.
Gay is a disease. Doom and gloom.
Right. Yes. Right, exactly. And, you know, when things just get you down, it may be the best thing getting you down that helps you get to another level in your life. And this guy, my God, he has accomplished so much in the entertainment industry. And, yeah, he's just did so much. So, It was nice to see being represented at the Emmys with a gay man. You know?
Very nice.
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, and they're pushing it. They I think Hollywood has done a lot, you know, in pushing the diversity of the Oscars. And
so you watch all of these shows because you are an actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did a commercial recently.
I did.
Did you not?
I sure did. I did an Uber commercial. That's right.
I didn't even know that Uber did commercials.
Well, this is a new, Uber's coming out with a new, I don't even think I can talk about it.
Okay.
I can't talk about it. All right. Oh, I can't talk about it.
I can compete.
But it may hit the States. But I guess I can. Yeah, I did it with some big movie stars. Big movie stars. And so it was fun. So, yeah, I don't know when it's going to come out. But I just, I did that. And what else? No, that's about it.
All right.
I'm going to do that. Well,
when I was on my gay retreat, I shared with you that one of the men was conscious about his feet and wanted to get his first pedicure, his manicure.
Yeah.
So he went and did that. A couple of us were there with him, and we were bantering back and forth while we were at the salon with him. Have you had your feet done before?
Yeah. A mani and a pedi?
Yeah. I don't usually do my fingers, but I've done my toes, but I've never painted my toenails.
Oh, yeah.
That's Are you big... open to painting your toenails when you do a manicure or pedicure?
Well, you mean paint them a color or paint them a clear coat?
No clear coat. Color.
Yeah. I see it everywhere now. I see it, all the young men are doing it.
But I think that heterosexual men are doing it as well. I don't think it's gay men that are doing it.
No, exactly. Some rockers are doing it.
All right. Well, the next time I come in here, I may have some painted toenails.
Look at you.
Why not? I'm wearing the hot shorts. I'll get the toenails painted.
Well, like one of my toes, when I was third grade, I was at the YMCA, and I was doing some flips on the mats and stuff. And I was a husky little fella. And so I'm doing my mats, and I do a somersault, and I land on my feet, but my toe hits the mat, and my toenail flew across the gym. Yeah. It flew all the way across the gym and it hit the wall. You could hear
bounce back and you swallowed it.
No, it cut my neck. And it came back and cut my neck. So my left little husky toe had no toenail on it, and then a new one grew back, but it grew back a little bit thicker. And it grew thicker than the other one. And still to this day it's a little thicker. That doesn't, because your toe is supposed to match. Well, my right toe nail doesn't match my left toe nail. So it's okay. And I thought, I should. And it's not gross or anything, because I get compliments on my feet.
Well, people say, too. Okay.
Yeah, they say, John, you have nice feet. I'm like, oh, well, thank you.
We should do a contest.
Foot off. Anyway, never mind. That's another part. But anyway,
that's an OnlyFans.
Yeah, that is an OnlyFans. It absolutely is. But I always thought, oh, maybe I'll paint it. But no guys paint their toes, back then. But now, today, forget it. It's
paint your toenails.
I can totally paint my toenails, but I don't.
One thing I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
My wedding ring. I have been divorced since May of 2024.
Yeah.
I think my wife sold her wedding ring maybe even before we were divorced. I have no idea. Mm. I still have my wedding ring.
Mm-hmm.
I pathetically sometimes still wear it when I'm at home by myself.
You put it on?
Didn't you really? I do. Sometimes I sleep in it.
Do you fuck it?
No. It's too small to be a cock ring. But what do I do?
Well, first of all,
with my wedding ring.
Okay. That's a question to ask that psychiatrist that we're going to have on here.
All right.
Because, that's something. You put your ring on, you want to be married. Do you want to be married?
I do want to be married. And, my wedding ring, I got married in the 90s. My wedding ring is a gold band with a thing of diamonds on it.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, if I ever get remarried again, I would just melt that down. And I would do a white gold and use the same diamonds.
Yeah.
But maybe my partner wouldn't want me to use the same diamond. I have no idea. So anyways, I've held on to it. Just
You're such a romantic.
I don't want to get rid of it.
Well, don't get rid of it. But you can always give it. Maybe one of your kids may want it when they get married.
Does a boy want his father's divorced wedding ring to give to wear for his... I don't think so. But I'm coming to a place in my life where I don't want to go home and feel lonely and put it on at night.
My God.
So what do I do with this ring? If you're listening to the podcast, do you sell it? Take it to a pawn shop?
Listen, it gets deeper than that. I mean, it really does get deeper than that.
I don't want to pawn my freaking wedding ring. I worked for 27 years.
But you're going home and you're putting it on by yourself.
Not nightly.
But you've done it.
Yes, I do.
You know, so do you really want to pawn it then? Do you want to get rid of it? You know what?
I think it'd be healthy. I could get rid of it.
Listen. Yes, it's a symbol of love. It's a symbol of that's why it's a circle, and it's a circle of life and then love. And you know what? There's one way to look at it. That was a part of your life that was real.
Yes.
That was a part of your life that you brought two beautiful children into this world with this partner that you had. And that was a symbol of it. And so if you want to keep that ring because it's a symbol of your life, it's like a picture or something, then you keep it. You keep it, and there's a part of respect there for that and great memories. Or if you just want to get rid of it, you know, get rid of it. But there's so many ways to look at it that, you know, you could melt it down and make a different type of ring.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe. Well, you know, so I wore that ring for 27 years. When I was taking that ring off, that's what inspired me to buy this watch.
Is that okay?
I was taking off a piece of jewelry that I wore 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I thought, okay, I'm going to take this off. I need to replace it with something. But one of my coworkers back at the time said, if you're going to buy a watch, view your watch as it's a time for change. I'm like, oh, okay, well, view my watch as a time for change. But at the exact same time, I felt like I was replacing putting the ring on every day by putting this watch on every day. So I probably overwear this watch, but I wear this watch every day kind of as a replacement for my wedding.
What kind of watch is it?
It's a nice watch.
Is it? Is it an expensive watch? I had a Rolex. I still have my Rolex. I bought it when I sold my first house, because we're both realtors. And if anyone's looking to buy in Los Angeles, send them our way. Because
please
listen, this show is brought to you by us realtors.
Yes.
So if you have anybody moving in, bring it. But I'm a realtor. Brian's a realtor. So I bought my first Rolex. Love it. It's beautiful. I still have it, but it is getting so crazy around here in Los Angeles. And now I switched to a smartwatch because I wanted to, you know, do all that. But my watch, and I wanted to give, you know, this is cute because when Jackson was a baby and I was changing his diaper, he would always pull on it because it was, you know, it's flashy and gold and beautiful. And he loved that. He would pull on it. So I thought, okay, this is good. I'm going to give this to you when I think you're ready for it. Which, you know, he'll be in his 20s if I ever do. But I can't wear it. I don't wear it. I don't wear it because people are snatching them off of people here in L.A. Well, they'll follow. They'll shoot you for it. They'll slice you for it. They'll follow you home. So, but I'd stop wearing it because of my smartwatch. But now it's like I was going to wear it the other day. I thought, no, I'm not. You know?
Well, I live in a different area, different part of L.A., which doesn't have a lot of crime. And I wear my watch. Well, and I walk a big German Shepherd most of the time. So I wear my watch all the time. But yes, I wore my watch when I was going to a play with someone from our group. And he wanted to take the red line. And in my mind, I thought, oh, my God, I have to remember to leave this watch at home because I cannot get on public transportation in Los Angeles wearing this watch.
Right.
And I forgot to take it off.
Yeah.
And so I took it off and I stuffed it in my pocket and I just like tried to pretend that I didn't have it because I was very worried that someone was going to run up on me and steal it. But this is what ties into my wedding ring.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking.
So you're replacing the wedding ring with your watch.
Yeah. My handicap, I guess. It's like I can't wear my wedding ring anymore. So I'm going to do this instead.
Well, yeah, be careful around here. And, you know, I mean, that's what's so sad. I mean, guys, we have listeners from all over the world.
And this is a multi-million-dollar community where they're right outside this door are $5, $10, $15 million houses.
20, 30. 20,
yes.
And yeah, this is like the seventh wealthiest neighborhood in all of the United States. I say neighborhood, not city, but the seventh wealthiest neighborhood. And yeah, I mean, even in Beverly Hills, which is right over here, 15 minutes away, or Mid-City, which is Fairfax and 3rd, I mean, people are just coming in, people just sitting at a cafe, having a cup of coffee, and here comes the hoodies. It's the hoodies that come in with three or four of them, and they're just roll you and take what you have, and it's just getting so bad. It's getting so bad. It really is. And so, listeners, my point is, I mean, I even went back home to Beaumont, Texas, population 118,000, and people walk right up to you in the parking lot. You just don't know. You don't know today. It's just, yeah. It's really sad.
That's true. That's true.
It's really sad. So, wear that watch proudly.
Yes.
We'll see you. We'll see if it's going to be on them next week.
Well, you know, I won't go up against it. It's been on me for 4.5 years, so.
Oh, well, good.
Let's see. All right. Well, I think we're at our mark, John.
Wow, already?
Yes.
Wow, we just yammering
again. Yes, we are. I'm going to recap Palm Springs Pride.
Palm Springs Pride, no, October 31st through November 3rd.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Marching as gay fathers worldwide.
Yeah.
If you've thought of coming out or thought of telling your wife and you haven't, what made you stop? Someone asked.
Yeah.
And if you know what I should do with my wedding ring, write in. Coming inside out at gmail.com. Thank you so much, guys.
Bye.